Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening. Hi, I'm Deb Flaschenberg, and I'm your host of Yoga, Birth, Babies. And today we have a birth story. Oh, I love our community birth stories, but what I particularly love about this birth story, one, it is someone who I had in the teacher training and I got to know her well through that. And then she came to classes online through her second pregnancy. So when I get to know people and I watch their journey, it means so much to me when I can hear their birth story. Now, Allie's birth story was absolutely beautiful. As I was listening, my mouth was agape. I just couldn't get enough of hearing it. It was a peaceful, confident birth where she used mantras that we often talked about in class. Some of them was, I trust my body, I trust my baby. And that is so important to find that inner trust. She used one of the other mantras that we say, squeeze knees, birth with ease. And the relationship she had with her midwife and how her midwife held the space for her was really just stunning. So I'm really excited for you to hear such a positive birth story, a hospital birth story that I hope inspires you and puts a smile on your face the way it did mine. Let me tell you a little bit about Allie. So Allie Marie Richardson is a yoga teacher, a birth doula, and the mother of two daughters. She holds her doctorate in physical therapy and was formerly an active duty in the Coast Guard. She and her family currently live in Northern Virginia, where she spends most of her days exploring parks and chasing sleep. I know, what new parent is not chasing sleep? I totally get that. I have to tell you, the first time I read that, I thought it said chasing sheep. No, chasing sleep. So I'm so excited for you to hear Allie's birth story. Before we do that, just some updates about what's happening. So we're starting to add some more in-person classes at the studio, which is super exciting. To see we're climbing out of what was kind of our COVID sleep and we're adding more classes. Now, just because we're adding more in-person classes does not mean we're changing what we're offering online. So we are still going to be offering online classes 7 days a week, along with our in-studio classes, our on-demand classes and workshops, our in-studio parenting classes like childbirth ed and lactation prep. And of course, a lot of that is on demand and online as well. So you can check all that out at prenatalyogacenter.com. Now, while you're on our website, and you can check to notice we got a brand new design website. I'm so excited about it. Grab your free downloadable. Think of it as like a little free gift. It is called The 5 Simple Solutions to the Most Common Pregnancy Pains. So if you can't make it to class, but you still have some achy lower back, I got a couple yoga poses that can help on the spot, so check that out. And they can also apply to postpartum, because I know those pains are still there after having a baby. And then the last thing I just want to share about our teacher training. So we are doing it, at this point, twice a year online, and then we have twice a year in person. So if this is something you're excited about, we go very deep into this material. Check that out also on our website and see which training best fits your needs. I said that was the last thing, but I lied. If there's a topic I haven't covered on the website, let me know, because I have been getting emails from you, the community, sharing what you want to hear about, and I've been looking for speakers on that. So feel free to send me your requests at deb@prenatalyogacenter.com. All right, that's enough of me. We're going to take a super quick break. When we come back, please enjoy Allie's birth story.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, Allie. I am so excited to speak with you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Deb. Hi, it's so good to talk to you too today.
I love it. So I'm all about transparency. So listener, community friends, I've known Allie for a couple of years. She did the teacher training with me in, I think it was DC, right? It was right before the pandemic, right? I think.
Yes, yeah, like it was like the month before.
Yeah, yeah, I remember feeling like we just kind of snuck it in because like mid end of February. And then you just had a baby. So I got to work with you now that everything's online. So, oh, I'm so excited to hear about your birth. So yay, I'm so happy you're here. All right.
Yay.
I'm just like gushing. I'm so happy. All right. So I know a little bit about you, but why don't you share a little bit about yourself?
Okay. This is like, where do I start with first? And does that like judge me for like what I list first? This is like, well,
anything about you.
Okay. So I am, I'm a mom of two wonderful girls. One of them is three. Her name is Saya, and Saya was 7.5 months old when we started prenatal teacher training.
Yeah. We had like a group of you guys pumping and feeding.
Yeah. Yes. That was us. And then Sybil was just born, gosh, almost 6 months ago now. So that's, I'm like a stay-at-home mom / virtual yoga teacher. So I teach power yoga and prenatal yoga. And then I'm also a birth doula. So I've been doing that kind of just by happenstance with the whole COVID thing.
Oh, wow.
For the past 18 months. Yeah, it was never a plan to become a doula. It was like a running joke between a couple of close girlfriends that like I should become a doula, and then they both got pregnant at the same time, and they're like, we want you to attend our births. And I was like, well, it's COVID and I have to be an actual doula to do that. So I kind of like found myself doing doula training. So then I loved it, right? Like I attended their two births, and it was like, it's been a birth a month basically until I was at the end of my second trimester with the second kid for me. And I'm married to a really wonderful man named Matt, and he's in the Army Corps. So I guess I'm an Army wife, if you want to call me that. And I also was in the Coast Guard for a time, and then I was a physical therapist for a time. And now I'm here talking to you.
And that's an amazing journey. I didn't know you became a doula. I'm not surprised knowing your nurturing nature. We tend to get a lot of folks that finish our yoga training and become doula. So again, not surprised, but really, really happy to hear that. So let's go into, we're going to talk about your births, but I'm really curious because between your first and second birth, you really explored the world of birth. How did you prepare for your second birth differently than your first?
Oh, Deb. So you were like this little, almost like, is it Jiminy Cricket, right? Like my conscience with me once I found out I was pregnant with Sybil, because I so vividly remember about prenatal yoga teacher training, and you talked about the differences between your first and second like pregnancy journeys and what you did differently. And so like, I was never a spinning person. Like I could not stand a spin bike. My bum is not made for that. But I was a runner, and like, I clung to running so hard with Saya, like ran a marathon, like into second trimester. And I just kind of let that go with Sybil. Like that did not serve me well. I ran like for a really long time with Saya's pregnancy, and with Sybil, as soon as it started feeling bad, I was like, I have to chase a 2-year-old for the rest of my day. Like I cannot afford to not be able to move. And B, like, why? Like why? For what? To prove to who? So with Sybil, I was just like a lot softer with myself. And I really tried to remember like what you said about like finding the balance in the pelvic floor and just not like, I don't know how to say it, but just it wasn't that I didn't value myself or my aesthetic or like how I was as like a yoga teacher in my community, but I knew that like I would get back to all of my fitness and like who I was if that was a priority after Sybil was born. But like that was not the priority in growing the second human that I was growing. So I just, that was like a big part. Like that was a big part of the first pregnancy with like my fitness. And that was a big part of the second. They just looked radically different. And then with Saya, I was in something called centering at the hospital that I was being cared for at. And so that was like group therapy, basically, in the context of prenatal care. And so I was with like 10 women and we met once a month and we had these like 2-hour appointments that were like childbirth ed and seeing the OB. But then that was before COVID. And so then like fast forward to Sybil and I was like pregnant in the height of like Delta and Omicron. And so I was like terrified to just be out of my house. And so everything was telehealth except for like my anatomy scan at 20 weeks and the glucose test. Like if I didn't have to be in any office, I was not in an office. Mm-hmm. And they would call me and they'd be like, how are things going? I'd be like, great, I'm fine, thanks, bye. but I honestly felt that way too, which I would never felt that calm with Saya. But with Sybil, like I just felt like I can feel her moving. Like my babies were both very active, even though I had an anterior placenta the second time around. I was like, no, I feel her. Or I feel the baby because I didn't know if they were boys or girls either time. And so there was like this combination of less intense exercise and telehealth. But at the same time, I was also a birth doula. So I was still like attending births while I was pregnant with Sybil. And so I felt like that was my childbirth education. With Sybil, I didn't feel the need to like constantly be on Google, like looking up things the way I did with Saya. Like Saya, like I got hiccups and called triage. I didn't know what they were. I was like, what's happening? And with Sybil, I was like, oh yeah, I think that's something I should probably be aware of, or like make a note of. But I didn't really do kick counts. I was like, I feel her moving all the time. She's fine. And so it was just like a very, very different experience.
You sound like it was a more, I don't want to use the word ground, although grounded is what's coming to my mind, because I don't want it to sound like you're ungrounded the other time, but there seemed to be maybe a better word of saying a level of trust. I don't know. How does that feel?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Saya, it took us 6 years to get pregnant for Saya. Mm. So like by the time we were finally pregnant, I was just like, I was looking up rates of miscarriage every day, like for the first trimester. I mean, I just lived in fear, like so much fear. Of losing her. And so like that just, it just, there was like this buzz with Saya's pregnancy. And then with Sybil's, I was just kind of like, my body can do this. It's done it before. Like if this baby is meant to meet me on the outside, like we will meet each other on the outside. But like, there's just so much of this that's out of my control that worrying about it, I knew wasn't going to make me or the baby any better off. And then like just that added kind of like lovely distraction of having a 2-year-old to chase and a very active 2-year-old at that, like there just isn't the time or the energy like to be looking up things all the time. But it did like, I think grounded and like trust really does resonate with how I felt with Sybil. And we like joke, we call her Chibble, like chill Sybil, because she just is kind of chill. that's her MO. And I think that kind of rung true from the start with her.
Oh, I loved hearing that. Thank you for sharing. And they're really different approaches. So thank you for sharing that. Was there anything from your first birth you were hoping to either repeat, or anything that you're like, absolutely not, I do not want that to happen again, you were hoping to avoid?
Well, so with both of my girls, I ended up with gestational hypertension in the last week, but literally like at the 39-week mark. And so with Sybil's pregnancy, I was like, I just really, like, and I ended up having to be induced for Saya. And I was just like, it wasn't a long induction, but I just knew, like, if I could avoid that induction, I really wanted to. Like, I had this dream of the very first birth I ever, like, not even as a doula, this is like a decade ago, was present for somebody during their labor, was this woman who was from Italy who was working for me, and her mom, like, flew here to the States from Italy. And she started going into labor. And the first thing her mom did was like make this beautiful dinner and break out like the best bottle of wine. And I remember just thinking like, this is how to go into labor. Like, this is what I want to have when I have babies. And so like in my brain, it was like, I want to avoid an induction so that I can be at home. And like, I don't know. I don't know if this is appropriate to tell your like podcast listeners. Like, I wanted to have like a sip of wine, not a bottle, but just like a sip, and just be like calm before going to the hospital, if that was all possible. And then when Saya was born, there was a moment where she was having D cells at the end of pushing, and I'm not going to say threatened, but like the OB who is attending the birth is like, I'm giving you two more pushes before the C-section team who's in the room watching this all go down wheels you out of the room. And so there were like over 20 people in my labor and delivery room by the time Saya was born. And I just like yearned. I really wanted a home birth with Sybil. I was like, if I could just birth this baby, that was like the joke with my mom and me was like, home birth 2022. Like, we were going to have this baby on my kitchen floor just like by accident. Like, not planned. Like, my aunt is a PA who like lives 5 minutes down the road. One of my best friends is like four houses down as a NICU nurse. And I was like, ladies, you are all on call. Like, just consider yourselves present for this birth. And so I just really wanted, like, I didn't want to feel like I was in a hospital, even though I wanted to be in a hospital because my brain goes into this like anxious place of like, what if the worst thing happens? And I wanted a NICU available. But I just didn't want to feel like I was in the hospital. That's what I wanted to avoid. I wanted to like, I attended a few births last year where like, it just was this like beautiful, like in all circumstances, right? Like I had a belly birth. I had a person who delivered with an epidural. I had a person who delivered unmedicated, but in all three of those situations, like, the energy in the room was still like very calm. Mm-hmm. And that was what I like was really hoping to like have.
I really appreciate that. I really just want to pause and say how much I appreciate that you recognized all the varieties of birth and that the common denominator was they were calm and they were still in a hospital. Cause I think right now so many of us think of hospital births as like, right. I mean, and there's truth to it. Bright lights, a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it takes some engineering, conscious engineering, to get that calmness. So Thank you for pointing that out.
Of course. And there's like validity and there's circumstances where I think all those forms of birth are absolutely appropriate and what's needed for everybody's health, for everybody's safety. But yeah, I think that energetic component, like I've never been like a woo-woo like person, but over the years with like certain aspects of my life, like I've really come to appreciate like that energetic, like the value of energy in a room. Hoping to repeat, like getting back to your question, like what was I hoping to repeat? Despite all the craziness of Saya, like her birth story, like I didn't have to have an epidural. And so I was able to move like whatever way I wanted, minus like the constraints of an IV pole for the Pitocin. So like I knew, and movement was such a big part of me feeling like I was in control of the process. And so for Sybil's birth, I really wanted to avoid pain medications that would take that movement away from me. And then I really like my two things were like, I didn't want an epidural if I didn't need it. And I wanted to have that golden hour after the baby was born. Cause that is like to this day, one of like my favorite memories of Saya's birth is just like when they plopped her like slimy body on me. And so like, I really want the slimy body with me, like as soon as possible. However this baby comes out, like just give her to me. So that was like, you know, of all the things that I can't be in control of, I know that I can kind of be in control of like how quickly I get this baby, so long as the baby like doesn't need obviously like medical attention. So that was that.
Oh, that was great. I'm so excited now to hear your birth story. So we're going to take a quick break and we come back. I'm just going to give you the floor to share Sybil's birth. All right. We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now.
The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
All right, my friend, I hand the mic to you. It is all yours. I would love to hear Sybil's birth.
Okay, so I feel like I have to, like, preface this with, like, I was telling my husband, I was like, I don't know why Deb wants to hear, like, Sybil's story. Of course, I think it's beautiful, but it's not, like, Hollywood drama. Like, it's very kind of just calm. Like, that's
well,
what we wanted.
I think that's important to hear. To hear about calm, because I think you just highlighted something. So many of us know birth from Hollywood drama. Like, when we think about birth, like, before I got into the birth world, my impressions of birth were from the movies and TV and people screaming and, you know, craziness and get the doctor. Like, so the fact that yours was the opposite, I think, is really reassuring for those that don't have, who haven't peeled back the curtain because they're not in the birth world. There's, you know, they have the other influence. So that's why I wanted to hear your story.
Great. Well, then let me tell you. Okay. So I kind of already alluded to the fact that I have a gestational hypertension. So with Sybil, it kind of was like a foreshadowed at my 37-week appointment. I had this one high blood pressure reading, and like, I can tell you 15 other reasons why I thought it was high, but it didn't matter. It was high. They documented it as high. So they were like, boom, slap the label on you. But we'll let you keep being pregnant for a few more weeks and see what happens as long as you feel okay. So then I came back and I was like, okay, they offered for me to come in at like 39 weeks for an induction. I was like, no, that's okay. I'll keep being pregnant because I just didn't feel like anything was really, like, anything was imminent. Like, I, with both girls, had these terrible, you call them Braxton Hicks, I call them, like, contractions that lasted for a month before my babies came. But, like, lightning crotch to the extreme. But nothing that ever felt like progressing labor. So we, you know, ever since the 37-week appointment, we put the hospital bags in the van and kind of like went along our merry way. By the 40-week appointment, I was like, you know, Matt, like, I just want you and Saya to come with me because they're probably going to hear the heartbeat. And Saya is like super into doctors, like playing pretend doctor. So she like loves having her little stethoscope, and she was like, quote unquote, listening to the baby's heartbeat like through my belly with her little play stethoscope. So I was like, what if she like got to play with the Doppler? And so I like needed Saya to come with me. I needed Matt to be there. So we all, family of three, got in the van and went to the hospital for the appointment. And of course, like, taking a 2.5-year-old was like the worst idea in the world. Because if you have a 2.5-year-old, you know, like, getting a 2.5-year-old like into a car is a process. Driving in DC traffic for a half an hour is a process. And then like, it's raining and it's February, so it's cold. And it's just like, I stacked all of the odds against myself. And I was like, I'm still coming home. We don't need to put the hospital bags in the van. We have all the Saya stuff. So, like, left all the hospital stuff at home, went into this appointment, and surprise, surprise, my blood pressure was high. Yeah, did I mention we were running late, too? Because that helped, too. So we get to the appointment, and then they wouldn't let Matt and Saya come back with me. I had this, like, surly nurse, and she was, you know, probably had a bad day and that happens, but like, she was like, no, they have to stay out here. I was like, okay. So I go back to this appointment. They take my blood pressure right away. She's talking to me the whole time, and the reading's high, and she's like, I'll be right back. So then the midwife comes in with the resident, and they're like, I'm sorry, your appointment is over, and you've just won yourself a ticket to triage. So then I'm like, wait a second, what? She's like, yeah, I'm sorry. You can't go home with a blood pressure like this. Like, you're having your baby right now. And I was just like, no, like, I'm in a sweatshirt. I'm in leggings. I don't even have my purse. Like, I gave my ID to my husband so he could get onto the base. Like, no, we're not doing this right now. Ramble, go up to triage, send Matt and Saya home so that grandma can come and watch Saya. And I like sat in my labor and delivery room for 3 hours and was just like, oh, okay. Like, no blood pressure reading. Somebody came and like checked in on me and was like, how are you doing? I was like, I don't want to have this baby right now. This baby's not ready to come out. And she's like, yeah, the baby's ready. You're ready. I was like, no, I'm not. So I like did a bunch of deep breathing and called a couple of girlfriends. And then I was like, what's taking my husband so long? Like, it's been 3 hours. Where is he? And the midwife comes in. She's like, what do you want to do? What feels good to you? I was like, I want to wait till my husband's back. She's like, okay. So it was like 5:30 in the evening. Shift changes at 7. Matt finally gets back to the hospital with the smoothie, but I'm like, if you're going to take this long, bring me a smoothie, please. And thank you. And so he comes back and the midwife comes in, she does a cervical exam and she's like, and this is like the first cervical exam I've had this whole pregnancy. And she's like, okay, well, I can stretch you to 5 centimeters and you're about 75% effaced and the baby's at a -3 station. And then my doula brain, I'm like, okay, so the baby's really high. And, yeah, I'm not having regular contractions. So can I go home? No, you absolutely cannot go home. Like, you're having a baby tonight. And I was like, okay. But then, so we talked about options. Like, we talked about rupturing my membranes. We talked about starting PIT. We decided to go the PIT route because we were afraid that if she broke my water, that things would just move too fast and my blood pressure would go like crazy. And then they'd have to do either like an emergency belly birth or it just wouldn't be the type of birth that I wanted. And so I was really grateful that she was like open to not just doing this as quickly as possible. Cause I should also point out that with Saya, they ended up, breaking my water and then I went from 5 to 10 centimeters in 1 hour.
Wow.
So I knew that like if she broke my water, like there was a very strong likelihood that like stuff was going to move. And that was a really intense hour with Saya. And I wasn't quite ready to just like jump into full, like, active labor transition. And so she started the, but then we decided, so then that was like 6 o'clock-ish. She decided like, we'll let the next like oncoming shift, like start your PIT just to make sure that they're on board with like the plan. Cause at that point they did slap a blood pressure cuff on me. My blood pressure had like normalized. I was fine, but my labs looked a little bit like, something could be happening. So we all decided like induction was the safest thing to do for the baby. I was full term and I was like, I made my peace with that part of the process. So 8 p.m. rolls around, the new midwife comes on board. She's like, yeah, let's start your PIT. And I was like, okay, great. With Saya, I was on PIT for like 9 hours and dilated 1 extra centimeter with no other change. So I was like, start the PIT. Like, we'll see what happens by the morning was kind of like where my brain was. And so they started the PIT and I told them kind of like Saya's backstory with the whole like rapid progression of labor. And they're like, okay, well, we'll also just like prep the room. Like, you're going to have a baby imminently. And so I was like, really? And I'm like, yeah, really? Cause normally like all the births I attended, like when they start preparing the room, it's like the mom's like been told she's going to start pushing or the birthing person's going to like start pushing, not like, you know, oh, welcome to your induction. We're going to prep the room for a birth right now. But so that happened. And then I was still like, I was talking to Matt and I was like, nothing's going to happen with PIT. Like, we're just going to be here a while. And funnily enough, like it was our first night away from Saya since she was born, like together. So I was like, let's just watch a cooking show together. So like we are total nerds.
You're like, let's make it a date night.
Yeah.
Here in the totally hospital like, with some PIT.
I got like my bougie smoothie that I was like waiting for. I was like, I had this whole plan about like we're gonna have this beautiful dinner. I'm gonna get my overpriced smoothie and then we'll like make our way to the hospital eventually. But that was out the window. So now we're having our overpriced smoothies and we're watching America's Test Kitchen on a hospital couch with some PIT hooked up. Okay. that was how it went for like 2 hours. And again, like we called like a couple family members and I was just like, the contractions were like picking up a little bit, but it wasn't anything crazy. And then 10 o'clock came around and I was like, I just don't want to be sitting anymore. Like I just do not want to sit. So I got up and I started like, I don't know if you remember, like Deb, I always requested with that month of like prenatal yoga class I took with you while I was still pregnant with Sybil. It's like a low Anjaneya asana, but you take that front foot out to the side and you kind of do like some asymmetrical rocking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had, Matt had brought my yoga mat and I just started doing that and like some cat and cows and some spinning baby stuff. And that kind of went on for a couple hours until I was like, you know what? I want to be standing because I was like rocking between like child's pose and mostly like quadruped and like birth ball, like hip circles, just like really kind of like low grade movement, but I just didn't want to be still. And then midnight came around and I was like, I want to stand and I want to move. So at this point we called our doula and I was, her name is Mary. And I was like, Mary, you know, things aren't really moving fast, but just so you know, like I'm on pit and I'm starting to feel some like rectal pressure, but it's not constant. So just know that like, I know you have two kids, like it's midnight, just stay home. We'll call you early morning and let you know where we are. And I was at the foot of the bed and Matt was like, wait, you have rectal pressure? I'm going to get the nurse now. Cause with Faye, I heard like, I lost my stuff with Faye. I was like screaming at my doula in a very nice way, of course. Like, I have to poop now. Like, get the nurse because I have to poop and I have this IV pool and I don't know how to do this. And they were like, no, you're like going to have a baby now, not poop on. So Matt knew, like, as soon as I started talking about like rectal pressure or like needing to poop, like things were moving. So he went to grab the nurse and the midwife came back with the nurse and I thought Matt put his hand on my back to like rub my back as I was like kind of squatting over the foot of my hospital bed during a contraction. And I'm like, please remove your hand now. And, and it was the midwife. And so like, I just remember this hand like very slowly lifting from my back and then seeing the midwife's head like pop around to my face. And I feel like for anybody who's listening that's like in the military, like I was former military, got out as a very junior officer, but this woman was like a senior officer midwife. And so like I all of a sudden like reverted into this like, oh my God, like I just told this like very senior person to like kind of F off in the nicest way possible. And so I had to kind of like put myself in check there for a moment. Again, we're like delivering an army hospital if I didn't say that either. But she was the most wonderful person. I can't even tell you. She was so wonderful. So she comes to the head of the bed and she's like, why don't I raise the bed for you? Cause I was like having contractions and squatting and holding onto the foot of the bed. And then in between contractions, I would just kind of like lean on the foot of the bed with my chest and like do like hip sways or figure eights, like side to side. And we had about 5 contractions there. So like for like 20 minutes there. And at that point I was like, I can't be on my feet anymore. And she's like, okay, just come up onto the bed when you can. I'll lower it back down. And it just was like the weirdest thing. With Saya at this point, I would have been screaming my head off. And at this point I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I'll get into the bed and like crawled into the bed. And I had like a contraction and I paused and it's like 12:30 at this point. And then I went to the head of the bed. And so I was like kneeling. She had like raised the head of the bed. I was kneeling by the head of the bed. My arms were like draped over and my water still hadn't broken. And I remember having this really like very lucid conversation with the midwife, like my water hasn't broken. Like, is this really like happening? And she's like, I'm not worried about your water breaking. Like, let's have a mermaid birth, like having a birth on call. And I was like, okay, cool. All right. I guess if that's what's going to happen. And Matt was standing by the head of the bed with the midwife, which again, to give you a frame of reference, during Saya's birth, he was like hiding in a corner because he was terrified of the noises I was making. And so at this point with Sybil, he was at the head of the bed And he had like picked up on the mantras I was like saying to myself, which like, Deb, I feel you'll appreciate. It was like, relax my neck, relax my shoulders,
relax my neck. I do appreciate that. Because that's what I'm going to say every class.
Oh my gosh. And then you were like still a little like a Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder. And then the other one was like, trust my body, trust my baby, trust my baby, trust my body. And I just like those two, I circled through, I like in between every single contraction. And then I got to this point where I was like, breathe my knees, birth with ease. And it was just like, I was like taking all of your classes like in succession. And I just remember having this like funniest thought, because I was like, I remember you saying that during classes and during training and being like, there's no way that that works. Like, say a shot at me like a firecracker in that traditional like semi-reclined position. That is the only way babies come out. There is no way I'm going to be able to kneel, that I'm going to squeeze my knees together. Like, this is like those orgasmic births you read about. Like, that's just not happening. But I started squeezing my knees. And when I started squeezing my knees, the midwife was like, excuse me, sir, if you want to catch your baby, you need to go to the other side of the bed now. And I was like, wait, what? And I like looked at her and I was like, what do you mean now? She's like, it looks like you really want to push. And I was like, kind of, I guess. And I remember saying to her, I'm like, but I am so scared to push. I'm so scared to push. And she just looked at me. She's like, that's okay. We're all here. You're okay. And it was just like this permission to like be scared, but be okay. Right? Like, you don't have to be comfortable to be okay. That's something I say to my yoga students all the time. But just like, she was just like, this is all going beautifully. Like, the lights are still dim. Like, there's no music. There's no extra sound. After the birth, my husband told me at this point, like, anybody who entered the room was like given this look from the midwife, like, do not say a word. Like, do not disrupt the peace of this room. And so I heard no other voices in the room. And so then at that point, I was like, I guess. She's like, are you comfortable with me doing a check to see where the baby is? And I was like, every contraction was like this seismic shift, like change in station. It was like each contraction I had, I knew that this baby was like shifting a centimeter closer. Like, I just knew, like, it was imminent, but I also didn't know. I was like, wait, this is not how Saya entered. Like, we have to be screaming about pooping in order to be pushing. Like, I just am telling you that, like, I have to poop, but it's okay. And she was just like, yep, okay, I'm going to do the check, like, after the next contraction. And also, like, cervical exams with Saya were, like, traumatic experiences. With this, I was like, okay. And she did the check, and she was like, yeah, you're ready. Let's push. And I was like, okay, let's push. It just was such like a delirious thing as I like really think about it and telling you this. And so at 110, we started pushing. And by 122, Sybil was born. And it was like, I counted 9 pushes. I had 3 pushes with 1 contraction. And then I like rested. And then I was like, again, squeeze your knees, birth with ease. Like, Deb, you were like in my room, I swear. And then I had the next contraction came and I had 4 pushes and I was about to like stop after the 4th push. And she was like, if you have it in you, don't stop right now. Like, give me a couple more pushes. And then like, it was like ring of fire. Holy hell. And then Sybil came out. And Matt's like, we have another girl. And I'm like, oh my God, we have another girl. Oh my God. And then it was just like this, I remember getting kind of like twisted up in the whole like umbilical cord situation because I was still like kneeling over the head of the bed. And then somehow like I needed to be like sitting, right, to like hold my baby on my chest. And so there was like this moment of like, which way am I turning kind of confusion. But it was so quick. Like, I just all of a sudden was there, and then I had her on my chest. And
you had your slimy baby.
I had my slimy baby. Deb, I cannot tell you. Like, I burst every blood vessel in my face into one eyeball with Saya. And with Sybil, like, we have this picture of me, right, at, like, with her on my chest, like, in that, like, first moment. And, like, I don't wear makeup. Like, I just don't. But it looks like I'm wearing, like, blush. And, like, and that's it. Like, I just, like, I'm just
you
there,
are glow.
Like, you know?
You're like, glowing. Like,
never felt the glow in any of my stages of pregnancy. But in that moment, I always look at, like, when I look at that picture, I'm like, oh, I actually do look as calm as I remember feeling. That's kind of cool.
Oh, Allie, that story. Oh, I loved hearing that. I remember being in class. It was one of those Tuesday mornings, because that's when I teach in my basement. And yeah. I remember you talking about the mantra, I trust my body, I trust my baby, was really resonating with you at that time. Because I remember switching my theme, like, on the spot. I'm like, that is what we will do. And because I think someone else recently had a baby, and that was a theme. And so we were talking about that a lot. And it's the fact that you had that deep innate trust in your body and your baby. It's just, it literally gave me chills when I heard that. And I'm, having known you during this time, I'm so proud of you, because I know how, and you and I are so similar. Like, I remember having you in teacher training, like, you are a note taker. You and I are very, and I say this as love, type A.
Yes. Yeah. I have a lot of other terms for that, but yes.
I'm going to call it type A. And,
yeah.
And I, it just brings such warmth knowing how open, and you did go with that flow. Like, you were able to let go of the control, but trust that your body knew what it was doing, and your baby knew it was doing, and everybody in your team circled the wagons. You know, that's one of my favorite sayings, circle the wagons, to hold that space for you to do. And that the midwife's like, don't say a word. Like, it's, I loved, it's so great. That's just so great. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks. I'm like, I'm also in this, like, 6 months postpartum, like, all my hormones are everywhere, like, almost in tears talking to you right now, like, out of joy and just reflecting back. So thanks. Yeah.
Oh, all right. So we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, will you tell me how your postpartum journey has been? We'll be right back. All right. Postpartum. How's this? How's the, you went into that world of birth, and then we have to find our way out of that world of birth. How's postpartum been?
Yeah. So again, I feel like, and we struggle with this, like, as parents, like, trying not to draw comparisons between the two girls, because there's just two different people. But because, like, they're both my babies, and I birthed both of them and had postpartum journeys with both of them, I feel like I have to kind of compare them to put them in perspective. Postpartum this go around is just so radically different. I feel like with Saya, postpartum was so much about me and, like, how I was processing things and, like, feeling like I was losing a sense of my professional identity. Because we made the decision as a family that, like, I would stay home with Saya. And so it was all just like, of course, it was healing took a really long time. Like, physically healing took, oh God, like 8-9 months to feel like I could sit on a chair comfortably and, like, run without, you know, having all the issues. But it was just like, I feel this way, I feel that way. You know, we as a couple are mourning, like, we don't have time to ourselves. But postpartum with Sybil has really been more about, like, Saya and, like, Saya's journey and her transition in terms of, like, the family dynamic changing, because all she's ever known is, like, mom and dad and me. Mm-hmm. And now it's, like, mom and dad, me, and Sybil. And so that has really been more of our focus, right? So, like, physically healing, that actually was much easier. Like, my physical healing took, I would say, 8-9 weeks most. And then I was, like, able to run again, not, of course, like, speeds or distances. And most of the time, like, taking Saya with me to, like, keep the house quiet so Sybil can keep sleeping while, like, you know, Matt's getting ready for work or whatever. The whole, like, me fitness physical aspect is similar but different, but more constrained by like the time that I have to myself because I'm still caring for Saya. It's not just about like, oh, Sybil's napping so I can take care of myself. I'm like, oh, Sybil's napping, so now what does Saya need? But the challenges have really been like the sibling, not even dynamic. We're not there yet. I can't pretend to have, like, and we have some of those issues, but more like Saya was pretty much fully potty trained minus nights before Sybil was born. And man, was that a wake up? Like that was her expression of control. And like everything else was changing, but she could still control that aspect of her life. So like working through potty training regressions and then, you know, sleep being interrupted by a baby because we live in a tiny little townhouse in Alexandria that we love, but like it doesn't leave a lot of room for like soundproofing or like separating the kids, you know, even if it's by a wall, like we share walls between bedrooms. So the baby wakes up most of the time she was waking up. And then I like have to be very honest, Deb, and I like, I hesitate to share this because like you have lots of listeners and I, but at the same time, like you have lots of listeners. So I want to say this, like mom rage. And so I'm going to get like choked up, but like, that was a phrase I wasn't familiar with in the postpartum part of Saya. Like I'm not a yelling person. I don't even like loud noises. I'm one of four kids growing up. Like I was the peacekeeper. I didn't ruffle feathers. Like I just like things to be quiet. But there's something with the hormones and just whatever it was that after Sybil was born, I just have had these moments of what I've come to learn about as mom rage. And so just finding myself kind of short fused. And you know, I of course didn't like hurt my children or like scream obscenities at them, but I have had these moments of like really intense, like I want to scream at you right now, but because I am a 34-year-old woman, like I have the awareness to know that like that's not an appropriate response and that's not going to make the situation better. So let me do a little like moment of deep breathing to myself and then come back to you. And some moments that really works and we have like a calmer interaction moving forward. But in other moments, it comes out in probably a louder volume interaction than I would like to have, or not quite the level of compassion that I wish that I had. And so that kind of like brought me into like a few sessions of professional counseling to be like, what is this thing? And like, I've never been in counseling before. I don't know if you're the person to help me, but like, help me more or less. And so that has been like one of the bigger parts of postpartum over the past few months for me and for our family is just kind of like, okay, mom loves everybody. Mom has some unmet needs. If I can steal that from a Good Inside podcast I listened to a couple weeks ago, of like, on mom rage, can I mention other podcasts, Deb? Is that allowed?
Of course, of course.
Okay, so Dr. Becky Kennedy, I've got to give her the credit. I am not an Instagram person, so I can't like connect with you, but like, thank you. I listened to your mom rage podcast, and she says this thing that like mom rage or rage is a sign of unmet needs. And she talked about like mom / parental rage for any, you know, people who don't identify as mom. And I was listening to this podcast again as I was taking an early morning run, and I basically was crying. I was like, what are my unmet needs? But beyond me, like when my 3-year-old is screaming back at me, like what are her unmet needs? And so like that's been, again, the past couple weeks really, it's just been the big work of our family along with helping littlest sister to sleep a little bit more at night.
So, thank you so much for sharing that. Cause I have to tell you, it is a very real thing. I still have mom rage at times and the way you're handling it, I think is really beautiful. I will be totally open that I don't always get a deep breath and I sometimes raise my voice louder than I should and always feel badly about it, but it's real. Like what you're feeling is real. And I just appreciate your openness because I think when others can hear that, then they're not as hard on themselves. And it's also an invitation. Like you said, you sought some help to recognize what was going on. And when we can see that this is something so many of us have,
we don't feel the shame about it, and we can then seek to resolve it or at least understand it and then take the steps. So I'm just appreciative how open you are about your experience. So thank you.
Thanks, Deb. If I could tell you how many hours the past week, I've been like, can I talk about this? Can I not talk about this? I have to talk about this.
Yeah. No, you do. You really do. And I'm really glad you did. So as we start to wrap things up, what is one final tip or piece of advice you would like to share with your community? Is there something you wish you had heard that you want to share? Or is there something that you really live by that you want to share?
Okay. I have cheeky responses to this, and I have serious responses to this.
Go both ways.
My cheeky response is don't buy jeans that don't stretch. Somebody had told me, just embrace either the stretchiness of your pants or just go to yoga pants. I had really good friend of mine tell me, momming is an extreme sport, so embrace the active wear.
Can I just tell you one thing that popped into my head? Okay. I'm going to date myself a little bit because I'm significantly older than you. And so I used to watch Friends during I think it was during college. And when Phoebe Buffay, that character, was wearing, I think it was Santa pants, and they were maternity pants. And then I think Joey wore them for Thanksgiving. It's there's nothing wrong with stretchy maternity pants. So.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
I tell all of my doula clients, I'm like, as soon as your pants feel uncomfortable, I don't care how many weeks pregnant you are, into the maternity pants.
Yes, I agree.
You won't feel so bad about buying them if you get 40 weeks out of them. So just wear them.
That's a great response. Okay, now what's the serious response?
Yeah, okay, but the serious response is if you're coming at this you're having more than this is your second or successive birth. Is to embrace the time left in your pregnancy with the family that you have here, right? So for us, we're a family of three. And it was actually a really dear aunt of mine who doesn't even have children. God bless her. This is the PA that was on call for the home birth. And I was having a moment of being really upset at the hypertension around 37 weeks. And she's like, Allie, just focus on this family of you, Matt and Saya, for right now. This baby will be here soon enough, but make the memories now. Make this a time that you look back on fondly, not a time that you're stressing about. And so that's often what I tell my clients who already have children is once this baby that's growing inside of you right now, once they are earthside, you are going to be spending a disproportionate amount of time, especially immediately postpartum, whether you're breastfeeding, chest feeding, lactating, nursing, bottle feeding, feeding, whatever it is, new babies just need a lot more time. And you're going to wish that you have more time to give to your older kids. And so it is what it is. Every family that I talk to is postpartum. I just feel bad that I'm not spending more time with my older kids. So I always tell them, just carve out that extra time, read the extra book without it being a struggle. Get the extra snuggles, even if they're uncomfortable, just spend that time as a family as much as you can.
That's great advice. That is such great advice. So are you back to teaching?
I am.
So where can people find your classes?
So I only teach virtually right now. I was teaching three different studios before COVID, and then they all unfortunately did not survive. But I have my own website. So it's www.wellnesswithalliemarie.com. And I teach two power classes a week. I teach a prenatal yoga class. Before Sybil was born, we also had a postpartum class on the schedule. As Sybil gets older, I'm hoping to bring that one back. But right now it's just those three classes, and you can it's donation based classes. So pay what you can. It's really just about fostering these communities and these connections for people that, might not otherwise have an opportunity to get them. And I really just welcome anybody to come.
Are you heading back to the doula world at any point?
I am, Deb. And that is something that I tell you what, I was not really planning to do as soon as I am. But it was actually last night that I met with this really beautiful family. And I just feel really called to be there with them, to support them. So I already have 3 more births.
Oh,
on the
wow.
Calendar. Yeah, I have 3 more births between now and January. Yeah.
So if anyone in the DC area is listening to this and they're like, oh, I like this Allie person. I like her energy. How can they connect with you about your doula work?
Yeah, so it's the same thing. It's the same thing through my website. I have a little section there about like pregnancy support, and you can connect with me there. There's a contact me, and you can just shoot me an email through that little section there, and I will gladly reach back out to you.
Allie, it has been such a pleasure getting to know you, to watch your journey, to see these new places that you're going. I'm so thrilled you found your way into the doula world. You have so much to give, and I know the incredibly big heart and compassionate person you are. So I'm thrilled that you're there supporting people, because, you know, births, it's a big ordeal and we need support. So thank you for the work you do. And thank you for trusting me to hold the space for you to share your story.
Thank you so much, Deb. This has really been wonderful.
My pleasure.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.